Thanks, Tarina and worship team. I hope you guys are having a good morning this morning, even though there is rain that falls from the sky, but I guess that's needed as well. As I was getting ready for this morning, it was interesting. I had this week a couple of interactions with people in which they said, hey, this Sunday I'm bringing a friend, and will you make sure you don't say this? And then other people say, hey, I'm bringing a friend this weekend. Will you make sure that you say this? And I was like, man, this is like, I feel like, you know, internally getting pulled like different directions. And then even this morning, someone said, you know, I told my friend that I'm bringing that, like, you're really funny. So will you tell some jokes this morning? And I'm like, man, I don't even know if I have any in here. So even as sitting here, I'm like, well, what's a joke that I know? And all of them seem to start with, you know, a priest, a rabbi, and a Baptist minister walked into a bar. And then none of those are really good for Sunday morning. So why is it that you remember the jokes like off the cuff that just aren't ones you can tell? Something I think kind of messed up in my head there, but that at least fits with some of what we're talking about as we're trying to you know, manage, tame, train, control these thoughts that we have in our lives and how to create pathways in our brains that are better, that are more positive than negative. There were a couple of guys that worked for a British shoe company, and this is back in the 1800s, sent them to Africa because there was an untapped market there. And they wanted to know from these two salesmen they sent to two different areas, where, you know, is there a market for selling shoes there? And the first guy came back and said, no way, there's no market because nobody wears shoes. Like, there's no market for shoes. And the second guy came back and said, there's a huge market for shoes because nobody wears shoes. And I think that's a little example of what we're trying to tap into here is that every situation has its positives and negatives, and it's our choice which thing that we focus on, which thing that drives us, which thing that kind of directs or points us in a direction in our life and in our world. Last week, we talked about how our brain maps itself. This isn't a, you know, religious topic. This is a scientific concept of understanding of how we remember things and how our brain works on a day-in and day-out basis. Our brain creates these neural pathways, these maps, as a result of us doing a certain activity over and over again or thinking a certain thing over and over again. I used last week the example of a car in which when you first try to drive a car, your brain is trying to think of all the things that you're supposed to be doing and you're really bad at it. But after years of driving a car, you start to create these neural pathways that make it easier for you to do these tasks, so much so that I shared last week how I drove from Omaha, Nebraska to Sioux Falls, South Dakota and didn't even remember the drive. Those neural pathways are what make that possible, even though I say shouldn't drive that way. It wasn't necessarily intentional. It was just one of those things, you know, you get there and you're like, wow, I just don't remember the drive. The neural pathways help you regulate speed and be aware of your surroundings, even though consciously you're not really connected to it. We do this in all areas of our lives. It's important, it's necessary, because this is how we accomplish more than we could if we had to literally consciously think of every single thing, like how to take steps or how to chew, how many times to chew before we swallow. We don't have to think of those things. They just are natural. They're part of these neural pathways that have already developed in our mind. You see, the more that you think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought. That's the development of those neural pathways. In fact, the more you think about something, positive or negative, the more you believe that thing to be true, and the more you start to see the world through the eyes of this truth that you develop. In fact, the major battles in life really are won or lost in the mind. Again, the thing that we choose to think about, the thing that seems to drive us, the thing that seems to shape our world around us. And in this series, I am teaching what I am learning, not what I have mastered. I need the content of this series as much as anybody else does. I've not yet mastered these things, and maybe I never fully will. But I am in the need of learning it And so that's what I've been trying to do. And we've been looking at this guy named Paul in the New Testament. And Paul wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament. It's letters that he wrote to different churches around the area where he was living. And he said that we battle these negative thoughts, these negative patterns, that we battle them with these divine weapons, these heavenly weapons, these weapons that are not of this world, but they're something different. And the battling of these negative things is the capturing of those negative thoughts and replacing them with this truth of who God is. And so he says, you know, you make these thoughts obedient to Christ. So he says, you know, we battle them with weapons that aren't of the world. They're divine weapons. And we capture these negative thoughts. And then we make them obedient to Christ. We take the truth of who God is and what God really says about something and replace that negative thought with a true thought from God. Because many of the things that we think, these negative things, are not truth. They're Satan's lies to us, the world's lies to us. Somebody has said something to you. Someone has convinced you of something. But the truth is different than those things that we believe. And so we need to, you know, challenge these things. If you think you're unlovable, God says that you are lovable, that he loves you. So we need new pathways in our brains. Now, as we look at the life of Paul, one of the things that he was trying to do is he was trying to get from the area of Jerusalem to Rome, which was a world away back in those days, considering everybody's on foot for the most part, getting from A to B. And as he's going the far distance to Rome, he's traveling and visiting many different cities and starting these churches and sharing about who Christ is. Now, Paul was a persecutor of Jesus at one point, but through a conversion in his life, understanding that truth, he then had a passion to share that truth with other people. And he gets to Rome, and instead of having this platform to be able to share there in Rome, he gets put in prison. And while in prison in Rome, and this isn't prison like what we have today, okay? Which prison isn't good. You know, some people are like, it's like a country club in there. No, it isn't. It's still prison. I get it. Maybe they have more freedoms or are able to do more things than you think that they should be able to. But certainly compared to Paul's day, it was a country club. Paul's day, I mean, it's this real prison kind of stuff. And so he is suffering in prison, and he decides he's going to write this letter, which he wrote many of them from prison, and he writes to a church that was in a city that he had been in, a city called Philippi, and the people that lived in Philippi were the Philippians, and he writes a letter to them to encourage them. The shocking thing about it is you think about this letter that Paul writes, Paul should really be writing a letter asking them to encourage him. Asking others, hey, I am in prison, like I am suffering here, and I need to get out of this situation. I need to be able to spread the gospel and tell people about Jesus, and I'm stuck in this prison. I need help. Come visit me. Come provide things for me, because people had to come and provide things for you while you were in prison. And he was in need. But instead of looking for encouragement from others, Paul, in prison, used the opportunity to encourage other people. In fact, if you look at how he wraps up this entire letter that he writes to the Philippian people, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. What does that mean, to fix your thoughts? Paul is saying something before science knew it existed. This idea that you need to fix your thoughts, you need to train your mind, you need to focus on, work hard at, thinking thoughts differently than the negative ones that you think. So this is Paul, fix your thoughts, and he tells you what to fix your thoughts on. Fix them on what is true. Right off the bat, he is telling you what we were saying last week, and I'm trying to continue on today, is that we sometimes have these negative pathways that develop. You know, and you see everything in that light. And he says, instead, fix your thoughts on what's true. Replace that lie. Someone told you, you're not worthy. Replace that lie with the truth in which God says that you are worthy. So you got to train your mind. Fix your thoughts on what is true. And he goes on, honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, admirable. And think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Whole list of stuff. Fix your thoughts. Even though science didn't know about neural pathways, God does. I think fix your thoughts could be replaced with the words create neural pathways. In fact, let's look at a different translation. You know, different translations of the Bible take the same concept and use different words. This is from the PDV version, Pastor Doug version. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Create neural pathways by thinking about what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely. That's brilliant. Couldn't have wrote it better myself. Honestly, why does this matter? Why does what Paul says here matter? Why does he say fix your thoughts on what is true? And a whole list of these good things, the positive things, the truth of who God is. Why does it matter? You're fill-in for today. Because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Whatever your strongest thoughts are, that's the direction your life is moving. What you see, what you believe, what you think to be true is the direction your life goes. Because you think those thoughts, you believe those thoughts, and they become the neural pathways that make it possible for you to continue to see that over and over again. That's why people that think a certain way start to see that thing in all situations. A neural pathway is like think of a field of grass, and then just standing in the middle with no path anywhere, just choose a direction to walk. Maybe there's like, you know, the grass is kind of sharp and you've got your, you know, your Daisy Dukes on. So you're really careful about, you know, making your way through the grass. I hope you didn't just picture me in Daisy Dukes, but well, now you are. You're gonna take something like and whack away at that grass, you know, to get it to where you can at least step on it, walk on it, press it down with your feet. But over time, you keep walking that same path over and over, the grass is matted down. Keep walking, and eventually the grass stops growing there and starts to not, you know, take root, and you can actually see dirt. And over time, that dirt path can get wider and wider because it's just you continue to travel it. A neural pathway is like that. It takes time, but over time you develop it. To where if you're standing in that spot and there's just that one pathway and you're going to leave from that spot to somewhere else, you're just going to gravitate to that pathway because that's the easiest way from point A to point B. A neural pathway does the same thing, creates the pathway. And it's the easiest one. And to change to a different pathway is difficult because you have to not go the way that you're trained to go, the easiest way to go, the way that is most visible to go, and you have to choose a different path, start all over again in a different direction. You see, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts because those pathways are there. They take you to where you think you should be going, or they confirm a truth that you think is true. The thoughts in your mind come out in your life. There's no way to have a positive life with a negative mind. It's impossible. Your thoughts matter so much because they are shaping you, and not only are they shaping you, but they're shaping your life. I mean, you could go as far as to say this, that you, if you can't control your thoughts, then you'll never be able to control what it is that you do. If you can't control the thought, you can't control what you do. It becomes this cart with the horse idea. It comes with you because you think it to be true, and so you live it out to be true. In order to change or control your thoughts, you have to begin to train your mind. And it's much like an athlete who trains her body. We have to be people who train our mind. We have to be careful what goes in, because what goes in is the benefit of what comes out. And so we have to train our minds, and we have to think of the true things, the honorable things, the admirable things, and put those in instead of the negative things that continue to come at us from all sides. This world is filled with opportunities for negativity in our lives. And we have to replace those with the positive things, the truths of what God has to say. Because the training that we do in our minds creates these new neural pathways to help us in the task or in the thought or in the process or the work or our families or whatever it might be that we're doing. We need to think differently than we currently think. And when you start to think differently, you'll start to act differently. And when you act differently, you'll live differently. And when you're living differently, your life is going to be different than it is now. It's not like you just ignore the challenges. There's plenty of challenges in life. But every challenge has along with its silver lining. Things that you can look at, positive you can find, even in the midst of negative. Good that you can find, something positive to focus on, even in the midst of the greatest of tragedies. It's not that you ignore that the tragedy is there. It is there. It is real. It is painful. It is difficult, and you have to work through it. But in that, you don't get caught up with the negative thinking of, oh, woe is me, and it's always terrible, and everything's so terrible for me, and always so bad for me, and you build these neural pathways, and you start to really believe it, and you start to live it. They've done studies when it comes to remapping these things for people that deal with pain or people that deal with certain kinds of suffering or chronic issues in their life. They even take athletes and say, okay, you're gonna shoot free throws, but not from the free throw line and not for real and not with a basketball. You're just going to imagine it in your mind. But the rule is every time you make your imaginary free throw, it has to go in the bucket. And the percentage of shots they make when you actually put the ball in their hand increases. These neural pathways that believe that you can do something, that believe in the positive things, in the good things, and you start to see those and live those things out, and they become a reality in our lives. So we don't ignore the difficulties, but we also don't dwell on the negative and try to focus on the positive. And this happens with the power of the Holy Spirit. As followers of Jesus Christ, you have been given weapons that are not of this world to capture these negative thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. And I think in those moments, our mind, our lives will become more obedient to Christ as we capture these negative thoughts. You think of major problems in our world today, like racism. Racism is built on a thought that is false. And it builds from there. A thought that is wrong about a certain people group. There may be some for you there, or for a person who is racist, there may be some grain of truth that they see. I know a person who is of this culture who does this bad thing, and then they just broaden it out to the entire group. So there may be some grain of truth that they want to hold on to, but then they take that grain of truth and turn it into a lie for the wider majority. Racism is built on a thought that is untrue. Falsity. But that neural pathway gets set up and it becomes their truth, but it's wrong. Even simple things, not simple if you have them, but maybe less tension to think about, but like phobias. You know, people have phobias. Something has happened in their life as it relates to that issue that has created a neural pathway in which they believe this to be a bad thing, and it's false, even though there's a grain of truth to it. Like someone that is afraid of flying in an airplane. That's more of a common phobia. Someone in this room here now has that phobia of flying in an airplane. And I want to be sensitive to the phobia that you have for not flying in an airplane, but it's the belief that because airplanes crash, that if you get in one, you're fearful that it will crash. But there is more of a chance that this roof right now is going to fall and crush all of us than for any one of us to die in an airplane crash. Some of you are like, oh, I'm out of here. You see, but you forget the odds of something. You just believe a neural pathway that says airplanes crash, airplanes are dangerous, I can't get on one because it will crash, and then I will die. But you ignore the truth, which is that the odds of that happening are so small, you do tons of things that are way more dangerous and don't think about it or give thought of it at any point during the day that are way more dangerous, but because you just don't have that negative neural pathway with that, they don't bother you. Now you're like, well, man, I better figure out these statistics and create all kinds of phobias, keep myself safe. People do this. These ways that we believe start to shape the way that we live our lives. And your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts every single time. Because we have decided at some point in our lives to believe something that someone has said. They are these negative things. We have to retrain our minds to think differently and to believe the truth that's there and not the lie that's in front of us. You see, something is not true because someone says that it's true. Something isn't true just because someone's really convicted that something is true. Things are either true or they're not true. there is a thing called truth, and it is not relative. I hear all the time in our world today, well, that's true for you, but that's not true for me. What in the world? That's not truth. I mean, truth is truth. Like, something is either true or it's not true. It can't be true for you, and then somehow a different truth for me. I mean, truth is truth. The one that defines truth is God. He's the one that defines what is true. And that's why we have to capture the negative thoughts and replace them with the truths of God, the things that are true, the things that he says are true. So you might not think that you're worthy, but if God says you're worthy, you have to replace the negative with the truth, even though you don't feel it, even though you have evidence against it. If he says you're worthy, that is the truth. No matter what anybody in your family says, no matter what any person that you at one time called a friend said, no matter what anybody has done to you, you are worthy because God says you're worthy. And that's a truth. Well, there are a couple of things that I've been doing that have been helping me remap in my own mind these negative neural pathways that have developed in my own life and to remap them. But if you remember the illustration I gave of the field with the grass and the path that develops over time, that's that neural pathway. Some of the neural pathways that I have developed over the last couple of decades are not just pathways like that. They are 8-lane interstates of concrete and steel. That's the kind of pathway I have. One that is not going to grow over anytime soon. That to destroy that pathway is so difficult. And to choose to go a different direction is really hard when there's 8 lanes of choice on this concrete interstate pathway that my mind has developed in some of these neural pathways for me, where it's just hard to think there's anything other than that choice in front of me. But there have been a few things that I have been able to learn and I've been able to implement and I have found some victory for in not stepping onto that pathway and choosing something different. Today I want to share one of them with you. Next week I want to share the second one with you. So if you want to know what the second one is, you're going to have to come back or listen online, but that's not nearly as fun. The help that I want to show you today comes from Psalm 119. Starting at verse 15, it says this. It says, the psalmist says, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. Talking about God. I'm going to reflect on your commandments, God. I'm going to reflect on the ways that you're asking us to live, the truths of life. He says, I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. The first thing that I would say has been helpful in my life is to start each day with what God's truth is. I do that in a couple different ways. I do it through the reading of Scripture, and I do it through prayer. And these two things, when I start my day with it and I include these things during my day, help me to remember God's truth so I have something that I can capture the negative thoughts with and replace with. I also find it interesting, maybe you would agree with me, how many times you're struggling with something and you go to some passage of Scripture to read and it just happens to speak to exactly what you're going through. Or the Scripture you read in the morning, you're not going through much of anything, and later in the day you end up going through something that Scripture is directly speaking to. And then you want to call that coincidence, and I just call that like God's help for a dumb guy like me to remind me of his truth and what I need and what is helpful. Now, since I'm your pastor, which makes me a super Christian and perfect in all ways, obviously, and mastery of all things spiritual, let me tell you the truth of my life when it comes to these things. Scripture reading. If you were going to say, okay, how much scripture does Pastor Doug read in a day? Now, I'm going to call this devotional scripture, okay? This is scripture like you would read for yourself, for your own devotions. Not connected to a message or other things that I'm doing here as a pastor. You come in and I read scripture to you for something, I'm not counting that, okay? Just what I read for myself. Average, probably about 15 minutes a day. Some days it might be 30 minutes, but there's other days it's 5 minutes. And confession, it's rarely on Saturday. I miss most Saturdays, and I will admit Saturdays are my toughest day. So you'd think I could figure that out. But I read scripture and I try to read it speaking into my life and listening to what God has to say. Maybe you read way more than that and you think that I should. Well, then you can come do this next Sunday. I mean, I'm just who I am. That's what works for me. I could always use more scripture in my life, I do get a lot of scripture in other things that I'm doing, but to be just honest with you, scripture I'm just reading for myself probably averages about 15 minutes a day on average. Now, prayer. Prayer is the other thing that I think is really, really helpful. It took me a while to learn that prayer was not about me getting God to do stuff. You know, like, prayer is not like, I need something or someone else needs something, so I'm going to pray, and by praying, somehow that's a deposit that allows God to then go do this thing. So if I don't pray, he doesn't do that thing, okay? That, a lot of people pray with that in mind, and if that's working for you, that's fine, but that is going to fail you because you're going to need something, and you're going to pray for it, and it isn't going to happen, and you're going to think, what did I do wrong? Did I not pray enough? Did I not pray hard enough? You know, did I not close it with the in Jesus' name? Or what did I do wrong? Prayer, I've discovered, is about aligning myself with God. So whether it's something he does want to do or he is going to do in the world or transformation he wants to do in me, prayer is getting my heart, my mind in line with what he wants to do. Prayer helps me through the difficult thing that didn't go away because I prayed, but it helps me go through those difficult valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. It helps me get through those things. It doesn't make them necessarily go away. Now, does God heal someone when we pray? Sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't, and I have no idea why he does at one time and does it at another, but that does not impact whether I'm going to pray to God or not or what my faith is. It's about me lining my heart up with God. Now, prayer used to be a really weak area in my life, and it certainly was a time where I went through points where I prayed at points during the day, and I still pray at points during the day, like specific time, close my eyes, bow my head, you know, pray. But I have learned that for me, prayer without ceasing really works well for me in that I bring things to God all day long, all the time. This kind of dialogue with him all the time that isn't like me closing my eyes. I can pray while I drive. I can even pray while I'm talking to you. If you come to me and you say, Pastor Doug, will you pray for this for me? Just my heart immediately, I start praying for you then, even as you're sharing it with me and we're talking. Because I want to be sure I remember that, but also it's just the way I do life. I encounter difficult things, I try to pray about them. Now, the weakest part in prayer for me is when things are really powerfully emotional to me or a really difficult moment, I don't remember to pray in that moment. And I wish, that's my growth area. I got to grow in that area. I usually remember afterwards. And of course, then I've already said some things I didn't want to say, or I did some things, right? You know, and you're like, dang. But it's in those moments that I really want to grow in this area. But scripture and prayer are two things that really help me train my mind in remembering God's truths and aligning myself with God's truth. So my encouragement for you is to do this, to spend time in prayer and to spend time in scripture. There's a prayer that I used to do a lot more that I have come back to. And I've shared it with you a couple of years ago. I used to call it a submission prayer. Today I call it a body prayer. But it's a prayer in which I think of my body with prayer because I'm starting to learn even more and more how much my body and my mind are connected in this way of thinking in my life and how I live out my life. That these things, I am connected. Maybe you're like, yeah, you are. New idea for me. That my body and my mind are really connected in how I live my life. It's not two separate entities. And when I pray, I think first of my mind, and I think, okay, God, let your truths come in. Let the negative go out. Let me just, you know, have your truth rule my thoughts, my choices for the day. And then next, I move to my ears and say, okay, God, just help me hear your truth and not hear the lies. Because my life is filled with those as yours is too. People that are always speaking the negative into you. And then I think of my eyes. I think, okay, God, help me just to see the world the way you see it. That my eyes would see the hurt or the pain or the places that need compassion and love and grace. That I could see the world like you see. And also that I wouldn't put my eyes in a place to see things that are going to damage my walk with you. And then I think of my mouth. And I pray, Lord, help me to speak your truth. To speak your truth to people and not be Satan's tool and continue to speak lies into people's ears. To be a mouthpiece for those negative things about another person. You're not this. You're not that. I don't want to be the mouthpiece for Satan with that. I just want to speak his truths. And then I think, you know, of my heart, and I think, you know, God, give me your heart. My heart would beat like your heart beats, and I'd be a person of compassion. I think of my feet, you know, you would take me where you want me to go, that the work that I would do. I think of my hands, that I would be a part of the things you want me to do, the way that I am working for my family, the way I'm working in the church, the way that I'm serving you, that these hands would be used for good for you. And I kind of go through body parts and pray in that way to connect my body with my mind in this kind of body prayer that I do. And I found myself doing that instead of just a couple times a month like it was months ago, now I'm finding myself doing that a few times every single week, and it's been helpful for me. But I do really believe that this series could change your life. That getting control of these thoughts, capturing the negative, and making them obedient to Christ could really change your life in such a positive way. And if you were with us last week, I asked you the question, what stronghold is holding you back? You know, what thing in life is holding you back that is a thing that is causing you worry and anxiety or sleepless nights, or the thing that is making you believe something that just is not true? What is that greatest stronghold? Where are you believing the lie? You know, believe the lie that you're not good enough, or believe in the lie that you're unlovable, or that you're ugly, or that you're dumb, or believe the lie that you are invisible, that you're never going to amount to anything. Because you have to be able to identify this stronghold. There may be many of them in your life, but in this series, I'm just asking you to identify one. What is one stronghold in your life? Because you cannot defeat what you cannot define. And then once you identify what it is, then the next question I asked you last week was, what truth demolishes that stronghold? What's the thing you can capture it with and replace it with? What is the truth that challenges the lie that you've believed? Because you are good enough, and you are lovable, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are enough. Here's the training plan for your mind. Some of you are gym rats. You go to your trainer, you say, what do I need to do to be fit, to hit my goals? What do I need to do? I say, write it, think it, confess it, believe it. Write it, think it, confess it, believe it. Write it down. What is it? What is the thing, the stronghold that's holding you back? Write it down. Write it. Then you need to think it. Think of the thing that replaces that. Think of the truth of God that replaces that lie. Write down the stronghold. Think of what that replacement is. What is the replacement for that thing? Then confess it and tell yourself this is true. If you think you're unlovable, every morning you look in the mirror and say, you are lovable. You are worthy. You are enough. And when you look in the mirror, you won't believe it. Because the neural pathway says that's a lie. But you continue to say the thing that you don't believe, and over time, you will believe it. You will change that neural pathway from this negative way of thinking that says you are not enough in this world, and you will look in the mirror and you will see yourself as fearfully and wonderfully made by God. But you have to do these steps. You have to write it, you have to think it, you have to confess it, and then you will believe it. Are you a person who's anxious? Then cast your cares on God, because God cares for you. Are you fearful? Because God says, fear not, for he is with you. Are you unsatisfied with this life and what life has offered you? God says that he will be your living water. You drink from him and you will thirst no more. Do you lack confidence in this world? Because God says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. Maybe you say, yeah, but Pastor Doug, I'm way too far gone. You do not know the things that I have done, the places I have gone, the people that I have hurt. And I would say the truth is God is chasing after you. You are his. And he loves you. And as you start to do this, you start to retrain your mind, you will be saying something also different than your life shows. But this is because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Change the way you think, and you'll change your life. Start thinking something different. Create new pathways. There's a song that I came across recently that I heard on the radio, and when I heard it on the radio, it was so powerful at that moment, I had to pull over. And if you know me, that is unusual. Some people say just like, my heart hardly beats, it seems like. But there was something about that song that was speaking to a lie that I had believed and had been believing, that was speaking a different truth. And for the first time, I heard that truth as that song was sung. And as I've shared this with a few other people have said, oh my goodness, I feel the same way. Or I heard that song, I felt the same way. So I thought, well, why not share it with all of you and check to see if you have a pulse. And for other of you that are like, you know, really feely persons, I'll make you cry. I think the goal is maybe you hear something in this, or maybe it's some other thing in life, but you'll hear something where you do hear truth. Because where do you hear truth? You're going to hear it in the truth of God's word. The things that God would say, those are what the truth is. And in this song, I hear the truths of God in my own life. So I want to offer this for you, and then a few final comments. Take a listen.